John chapter 12 and verse 1. If you have it, say amen. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone, against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. I want to talk to you on this subject tonight. Lessons at Jesus' feet. Lessons at Jesus' feet. Why don't you clap your hands to the Lord? Amen. And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Appreciate the youth chorale and the musicians. Thank you so much for your help tonight. Whenever you look at the way that the Bible is orchestrated and how it starts, Moses starts the Bible with the scripture, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And he's starting the Bible very, very purposefully with how he starts the Bible, because in the time that Moses was writing, there was a lot of, everyone believed in multiple gods. It was a polytheistic culture. The concept of monotheism, the concept of one God, was foreign. Everyone believed in multiple gods. And during the time of Moses, there were thoughts and imaginations and fables and folk tales on how the earth was created. And so it would be fictitious claims such as the sun god had a relationship with the moon god and the earth was born, you know, things like that, just scattered fables, and they worship the heavens and the earth. This is why Moses starts the scripture with, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In other words, what you guys are worshiping is what my God created. And he is pointing the people to the Creator. And when, as he points the people to the Creator, you have to understand this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. Hold on 1 second. We read that too quickly. God created the earth without form. Anybody caught that? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void. He created the earth without form. He created the chaos to show us what happens when his word gets into chaos. And when his word gets into chaos, it brings order and transformation. He created the earth to show us what happens when the earth yields to the word and to the spirit. Transformation comes forth. And he created the earth in bare form, vacant, nothing there, wasteland. Here's the revelation. Every planet in every galaxy was created in bare form. All of the planets witnessed to what the earth used to be. So the earth is chosen as the only planet where God's word and his spirit got involved. There's no life out there. Are you hearing me right now? Oh, y'all heard this before. My bad. There's no life out there. Every planet witnesses and testifies to the uniqueness of the earth, because the earth is the only planet where God introduced his word into it and introduced his spirit into it. But every other planet is what the earth used to be, and that is bare form with no life. People are nodding their head like they learned this in school. Like, oh yeah, yeah, you're like the 15th person to tell me that. Amen. So he creates the earth with this incredible uniqueness, and he makes man in his image. And man is made in the image of God, but the Bible says that he gave him the garden to keep it and to dress it. But watch this. Man is unfulfilled in his work. He's unfulfilled in his ministry, because God said, I've got to find a helpmeet for this guy. God created him, but God says he's lacking. And I've got to create something to meet what he lacks. Woman. And the emphasis that God puts on the woman is totally different than every other ancient Near East custom during that time. The prominence that the Bible places on women is unique to the times which the Bible was written. God places incredible value upon the women like no other culture, no other religion ever could. Judaism and Christianity are the leaders in showing the prominence and the importance of the woman. God introduces us to this with Eve. He introduces us to this in the New Testament whenever he says the lineage of Jesus Christ. It was very uncommon to have a woman in the lineage. You only named the man when you were naming lineage. But God went so far to show us that I want to name the woman in the lineage because she's just as valuable as the man is. I thought somebody was about to run around the church on that point. They looking at me like, I know I'm valuable. I don't need to. And even in the Old Testament, whenever they would name the kings, they would always name the mother of the king, because the mother had influence over the king. Amen. And so he names Rahab the prostitute in the lineage of Jesus. He names Bathsheba the adulteress in the lineage of Jesus. He names these women to introduce us to the Messiah. And when you look at this concept, there are three people that can illustrate the point perfectly that I want to illustrate to you tonight, and that is the lessons that are learned at Jesus' feet. And these lessons, it starts out with humility. Jesus, John, he starts out his ministry and says, I am unworthy to untie the sandals of the Messiah's feet. And feet during this time, it was such a demeaning. It was the bottom. It was that humiliating. You don't want to mess with people's feet. I think we still feel like that today. Hallelujah. Oh, some of y'all like that. My bad. Hallelujah. My bad. That's you. Hallelujah. That's between you and the Lord. Hallelujah. I ain't judging you. And John, he starts off his ministry and says, I'm not worthy to untie the sandals of the Messiah's feet. Now, that sounds like something funny, like, okay, whatever that means. But in this time, it was illegal for a slave to untie the sandals of their master's feet. You could not allow your slave to untie your sandals because it was such a demeaning task that even a slave was not allowed to perform that task. But John said, I'm not even worthy to do the task that slaves are banned from doing. He demonstrated humility. And when he wanted to demonstrate humility, he talked about feet. Jesus, he has this power in him, and he, I haven't went to my first point yet. I'm almost there. Just give me some time. I'm building up. Don't get nervous on me. Don't get nervous. Jesus, he starts, before he's about to be crucified, the Bible says he knew he had all things, and yet he girded himself with a towel and he washed his disciples' feet. He washed Judas' feet. Judas, I know that you're going to betray me, but I'm still gonna wash your feet. I asked somebody, what do you do when you're the greatest man in the room? Grab a towel and serve. And that's what Jesus illustrated to us, that humility and serving, washing the disciples' feet. And the third character that illustrates this concept of humility and power and progression is Mary of Bethany. Mary of Bethany, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and Lazarus are the three people that illustrate one of the most powerful ministry points that you can ever have in the New Testament. And Mary, she starts her journey. Every time Mary of Bethany is mentioned in Scripture, she's always mentioned connected to Jesus' feet. She's never mentioned apart from his feet. Every time you see her name shows up, she's always at Jesus' feet. The first time she shows up to Jesus' feet is in Luke chapter 10. Let's go there. Luke chapter 10. And I believe it's verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. This is the first time Mary shows up at Jesus' feet. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. The first time that Mary shows up to Jesus' feet, she comes. This is the start of her journey. She comes to his feet to hear his word. She prioritized hearing the word of the Lord over every other meaningful task. She prioritized hearing the word of the Lord over her job. She prioritized hearing the word of the Lord over anything that was happening in the family. She said, I've got to make time to hear his word at his feet. Come on, somebody. We've got to make time to make sure that we're in the word of the Lord. She prioritized spending time at his feet to hear his word because she understood, if I don't hear his word, everything else that I do is not important. Everything else I get done in my life, if I did not first spend time in his word, it's of no value. And if I'm going to have energy in my day and effectiveness in my day, I've got to make sure I am prioritizing hearing his word, because it's more important than everything else. And the word comes nourishment, the milk of the word, the meat of the word. The word is like a sword. The word is like a hammer that breaketh the rocks. The word is like a fire, like a consuming fire. The word, when you make time in the word, it will meet the needs that need to be met. But what happens is we get cumbered about with many things. Some of y'all, you haven't heard the word since I've been preaching because you're thinking about what happened on the job before you got here. You're thinking about what's happening with the kids. You're thinking about what's happening with life. Some of y'all still cursing in your mind over traffic. Isn't it easy to get cumbered about with so many things? Come on, somebody. We can't even make it through a whole sermon without sending a text message. How long has he been preaching? 5 minutes. Oh, God. Cumbered about with so many things where we never make time to hear his word, not only in church, but also at home. Prioritizing making time to be in the word of the Lord at home before anything else. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that better part. We have to make time to get into God's word and to be at his feet. Amen. And some people like to say, well, Brother Jackson, I just don't have time like that. I took it upon myself last year to download an app, and the name of this app is called Moment. Anyone ever heard of it? This app, Moment, it monitors how much time you spend on your phone. It monitors, it keeps track Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then it combines the minutes and the hours at the end of the week, and it will show you each day how many minutes and hours you spent on your phone. And it combines it at the end of the week. I downloaded this app last year, and the first week when I downloaded this app, can you guess how much time I spent on my phone? 41 hours in a week on my phone. The first day I was on my phone for 8 hours. And watch this, I'm intentional with my private devotion. I'm crazy, I'm weird with my devotion. I got the planner. I got a planner that I've had for several years. I got a planner. I monitor how much time I pray in a day, how much time I study in a day. I combine the hours of that day. Then at the end of the week, I combine the hours of that week. And then at the end of the month, I combine the hours that's in the month at home. I got a private devotion graph. You're not hearing me right now. I got hours on the left-hand side. I've got months at the bottom. I monitor how much hours I spend in each month to monitor my progress. I am intentional with my devotion, but even with intention, I still spent 41 hours on my phone. And y'all looking at me like I'm the big sinner. I wonder what yours would be. Some of y'all would break 100. Look how y'all put the straight face on. Y'all, it's amazing. All church folks all across the world put on the same face when there's conviction. There must be some conviction training course. Like when you feel conviction, immediately do this. I need to find, that must be on the black market somewhere. I don't know what's going on. Maybe preachers don't have access to it, but the same, I can be in Canada, I could be in Belize, I could be all across the world, I could be in Germany. Everyone puts the same face on when they get convicted. And when they're really convicted, sometimes they'll do this. That's good. Because they say that's good. So to let you know, he's not talking to me. He's talking to y'all. Y'all still got it on. Come on. Somebody touch your face. Just come on. That's good. You have a lot more time in a day than you think you have. Amen. Some of y'all leave your phone at home. You can't focus the rest of the day. People trying to talk to you. Nah, my phone. I want to laugh, but I can't find the emoji to laugh. Now it's times when you say something funny, people have to think before they laugh because immediately they want to say, LOL. Isn't that the truth? I've caught myself doing that. Somebody says something funny, in my mind I'm saying, LOL. I'm like, hold on, Victor just laughed. Delayed response laughs. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I know. Y'all still have the telegram. I know. Y'all don't use the phones. People look at them like, what's a phone? The thing you look at it every 5 seconds, hallelujah. You got to prioritize to make time in his word. That's the first time she comes to his feet. She comes and makes time to hear his word. You've got to put the distractions away and make time to be in his word. The second time she comes to his feet, she comes in John 11. John chapter 11 and verse 32. John chapter 11 and verse 32. This is the second time she comes to his feet. It says, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. The second time she comes to his feet, we see a maturity and a progression in the life of Mary of Bethany, because this time when she comes to his feet, she does not come to hear his word. She comes and lays down her problems at his feet. She grew in her walk as she came to his feet to lay down her problems, as she wept laying down her problems, and her weeping touched something in his spirit that caused him to churn and want to meet the need. She matured to not just come to church and hear the word, but to come to church and learn, to lay down the problems that she brought in here, to lay it down at his feet and say, God, I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I'm not going to stress about it anymore. I'm not going to be anxious about it anymore. I'm laying it down at your feet. Amen. Because too many people have learned to hear, but they have not learned to lay down. And what happens is we walk in here with problems, then we leave here with problems. Come on, somebody. And those problems start wearing you out because we have not grown in maturity to learn that's what the altar call is for. It's to lay down all your heavy burdens. It's to lay down all your disappointments. It's to lay down all of your frustrations and say, God, I'm not going to stress about it anymore. I'm leaving it to you, but I'm not walking out of here with that burden on me anymore. But what happens is we hear the word, we keep our problems, right? And we go home with the same problems. And because we have the same problems, we cannot be sensitive to others' problems. Because you're struggling and they come up to you crying, I got a headache. Like, bro, do you know what I'm going through? I've got no sympathy for you. I know, but I stubbed my toe this morning. Come on, somebody. Do you know what I'm dealing with? And your temper starts getting
You're on edge all the time. Something doesn't go right. You just one thing. Ah! You can be cool, cool. Something goes wrong. I told. Because you have not learned to lay it down. Because what altar call is not just for sinners. Are for people that are just struggling openly. Somehow, as Americans, we take pride in struggling privately. To not let anybody know about it. And you feel like you're strong if nobody knows. I'm going to hold on to it. They ain't going to know. If you're in need, come to the altar and pray. Look, you. I ain't coming. They going to know around here that I'm strong. Come on, somebody. And those problems are weighing on you. You're limping in here. Some of y'all, you walk in. Okay, this is the entrance of the church. This is the double door. Here's the double door. This is you walking in the church. You walk in the church. Look, you walk in like that. Look, this is how you walk in. Now watch. I'm about to come in the church. Watch. Look, watch when I come in the church. Look, I'm limping. As soon as I come in the church, is this? Look. As soon as you walk out of church, there's this. At least nobody know I'm struggling. Weighed down with burdens. As long as nobody sees, they know I'm strong. You've got to come to a maturity in your walk with God. Where you don't care what anybody else thinks about you. I got to get this off of my back. And I've got to lay it down at his feet. And you can judge me. Come on. Me laying it down is a sign of maturity. And not a sign. I know, but you got an image to protect. I just need to stay here because y'all want me to move on. Hey, Brother Jackson, I wish you'd get off of that now. Oh, I had something funny come in my mind. Because I don't even know if anybody's cooking for me this week. Is anybody cooking this week? See, because some of y'all are thinking like, you better slow down, Brother John. I spit in your food this week. You keep on nailing there. I got something for you. And I'm going to smile the whole way and say, God bless you. I know y'all wouldn't do that. Please don't do that to me. I love this food. Hallelujah. Amen. For Louisa, say, you can spit in mine. Just don't spit in my wife's. My son's. Got an image to protect. In the car, argument with the fam, with the wife. Argue. Now, you can be like, now you good? We got to make sure we look happy now. As soon as you get to church, we're about to get out of the car. You stay in the car, finish the argument now. Now we're going to get out of here. Make sure you look happy, okay? Get out the car, look. Yes, we are the perfect family. Dearest be to thy God. home is like that. I don't know what that is. That's like Hunchback of Notre Dame or something. I don't know. That's how some of y'all look at home, though. Amen. She grew in maturity to lay down her problems at his feet and leave it there and not pick it back up. That's what church is for. Come on, somebody. That's what worship is for. That's what coming to church is all about. Not to show how strong we are, but to show how strong he is. Because in my weakness, he is made strong. But you will never discover his strength until you are willing to display your weakness. You will never discover his strength publicly until you are willing to display your weakness publicly. Because his strength is made perfect in weakness. So she comes to his feet and she lays down her problems. And after she lays down her problems, she receives answers to her problems at his feet. He raises up Lazarus. Now we get to my text, because they are rejoicing over the resurrection of Lazarus. And they're all sitting at the table in Bethany. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at table with them. Watch this. Then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. We see a progression in the life of Mary, because when she comes to his feet this time, she does not come to receive answers or received a word from the Lord. She does not come to receive answers to her problems, but this time she notices something different in the feet of Jesus, because during this time in around that area, it was a rough terrain, and everyone wore sandals during those times, and there were rocks on the rough terrain, and when you climb up those rocks all day, there would be cuts on the side of your feet and blisters on the bottom of your soles. And when she saw his feet this time, she did not think about receiving another word of confirmation. She did not think of receiving answers to her problems. But she looked at his feet this time and she said, I've got to meet a need in the body of Christ. We see a maturity in the life of Mary, because this time she did not come to church to receive a word of confirmation. She did not come to church to receive answers to her problems, but she saw that the body was bleeding and there was somebody that was hurting, and she got her eyes off of herself and started meeting needs in everybody around her. She shows us the essence of Christianity, where it's not about us. It's not about you and your problems, but it is about helping somebody else. Here you are frustrated, but you don't realize that the person next to you is bleeding on the inside, and they're waiting for somebody to take enough time to stop looking at them and their own petty problems and start looking outside of themselves. And say, you know what? God didn't just bring me here for me, but he brought me here to meet a need in the body of Christ.
We come to church and you say, God, what you gonna do about my ministry? And there's people that are bleeding all around you. You come to church and you say, God, when I'm gonna have my time? And there's people bleeding hurting all around you in this community. You come to church and you're mad. Come on, somebody. That God hasn't opened up a door in your life. But there are people that are bleeding all around you. And if you could just get your eyes off of what hasn't happened in your life and start looking around and start praying for people, and you can meet a need in the body.
Because I'm telling you, if you can get your eyes off of yourself, I know when you think about yourself, you're always tired. You're always tired when you come to church. But when you see somebody else struggling in church, all of a sudden, that weariness doesn't mean much to you anymore. Because they need me to pray for them. And I'll, come on somebody, I'll put this weariness on the back burner. And I'll go and meet a need because they need it.
As Christ died for us, the Bible says, even so we are to lay down our lives for the brethren. She came into that house, and everybody sitting down, watch this, arguing over position. You're not hearing me yet. They were trying to maneuver to see who can get closest to Jesus. They were maneuvering over position. But here she is. She looks at the feet, and he's bleeding the whole time. Wow, they're arguing over who's the greatest and over who has the most power, and she sees he's bleeding. He's bleeding. I'm not gonna think about who's the most powerful. I'm not gonna think about what hasn't happened. I'm just gonna get down on my knees in front of everybody and meet a need in the body.
Oh, somebody clap their hands to the Lord right now. Come on, somebody clap your hands to the Lord right now. Come on, somebody lift up their voice in worship right now. Shatalalamakaya. Hallelujah. I asked somebody, I said, what good is an anointing if you waste it on yourself? The anointing only comes to help somebody else. So if you're not helping anybody else, you are wasting on yourself. And the oil cannot flow until you go get another vessel to pour your oil into. Come on, somebody. God gave you oil to pour into your neighbor's vessel, and they're dry and you're overflowing. Come on, somebody. It's time to share the wealth and help somebody else.
Can I tell you, every need that's in here, you have somebody's need. You have somebody's answer. You have somebody's remedy to their need. Can I tell you, you need the preacher to lay hands on you. You have power on the inside of you to meet a need on the person next to you. Can I tell you, what if I told you every need that is in here can be met by the person that we are sitting close to? Come on, somebody. This is what the body of Christ is all about. It's about meeting needs in the body.
Everybody stand with me.
She said, I'm not coming no more to just receive another word of confirmation. She said, I'm not coming no more just to receive answers to my problems. But I am maturing to not come to church to see what I can get. But I'm coming to church to see what I can give. I've come to pour something out. I've come to pour something precious out.
I want you to grab the person's hand next to you. Find somebody close to you to pray with. You don't know what they're dealing. Come on, that's it. Nobody by themselves. Find, link up with somebody. Link up with somebody. You don't know what they may be dealing with, but you have the words in your mouth right now to meet a need in the body. You don't know what their wounds are. You don't know what their hurts are, but you can meet a need in the body. They're bleeding. They're hurting. They're wounded.
and they're just waiting for somebody to get their eyes off of themselves and lay their hands and meet a need in the body. Come on, that's it. I want you to lift up your voice. Somebody speak in tongues and pray with the person next to you and pray that God would meet a need. Pray that God would open the door. Pray that God would do something deep. Pray that God would shake the foundation. Pray that God would deliver them. Pray that God would heal them. You've got the answer. You can meet a need in the body. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And can I tell you, when you start meeting others' needs, God will start meeting your needs. Come on, somebody. When you start pouring out, God will start pouring even more in. I remember when I gave up college basketball and I was in a pity party because God wasn't opening up any doors or doing anything for me for those first 3 years after I gave it up. And finally God spoke to me and said, Victor, I never called you for you, Victor Jackson. I only called you to meet a need in the body of Christ. So Victor, why don't you get out of your pity party and why don't you start helping others around you? Hey, come on, somebody, if you ain't get your eyes off yourself, God will show you and use you to impact this world. Everyone lift up those hands and close your eyes and ask God to baptize you with the compassion. Ask God to baptize you with the hunger to serve others. Ask God to baptize you. God, it's not about me, it's about you. I get my eyes off of myself.